So today I want to seed this environment with some, can I say wisdom, some counsel, some insight. You don't know very much about me. I don't know much about you except the experience that I've sensed this morning. I'm a dentist by training. I'm a prosthodontist. I still practice and practice about 20 hours a week, full-time ministry. My wife of 50 years, Sandra, departed this life June the 13th. We've been married over 50 years. She worked with me in every aspect of life and ministry. I can't remember life without her. So that's a transition for us that's major. And we progress day by day. I have two grown children. They're both attorneys. Couldn't convince them to go into dentistry. But they're both lawyers, very efficient, very effective lawyers. My son was once a prosecutor, but now he's a defense attorney. And he's outstanding, graduated from Emory Law School, and they bring him back to teach them how to prosecute and how to litigate. My daughter Gina, she's a personal injury. My son says she's an ambulance chaser. But I don't really think that, but they work as a team together and outstanding. Have some grandchildren, and a grandson is 21. I'm a transcendent person. I believe that one of the reasons and one of the ways you communicate past your generation is, number one, you learn to cultivate the science of listening. We've mastered the art of speaking. We have to learn to listen to people. When you listen to people, it says to them, you value them. And we're so quick to say what we know, what we want, but we need to listen. And so I have good listening ears. As a dental practitioner, I have to listen, and I listen constantly to people. So I want to see this environment with some ideas, some thoughts. I understand that you began this work here only recently, and a lot of energy and enthusiasm and ideas and vision, and we know we need the wisdom of God to do what we're going to do. So I want to talk about some things here today to you. how many of you have cell phones? Have cell phones? How many have iPhones, and you have some things, I don't know what they are, but all of you. Make note of this in the back 40 of your spirit. Whenever I say that, back 40, that means something I want you to retain. You can become so technologically dependent that you lose your sensitivity to the spirit. Make note of that. I'm not saying that we're anti-technological. The kingdom of God is not anti-technological. You need to understand we can understand technology because we're created in the image of God. God has endowed us with creativity, number one, and rationality. That's how we can create things. Without that, we could do nothing. He didn't give it to the birds of the air or the beasts of the field, but he gave it to us. But we have become so dependent upon technology. I have a little thing called Google. And every day I ask Google, what's my day like? Good morning, Kirby. You have this appointment, this appointment. Google, what's the temperature like? Today, Kirby, it would be 98 and 68 low. There was a time in my generation when I wanted to know the temperature. I did that. Now, as you laugh, that was very significant to us. Now, I'm not saying we should go back to that, but I'm making a plea that, number one, you maintain a spiritual consciousness. And you do that in several ways. Number one, that's by praying in the spirit. I cannot understand how praying in tongues or a language that's unintelligible to me. It is a Christian thing. It's not a Pentecostal charismatic thing. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. You must pray in the spirit. It awakens a consciousness in you. It brings alive something in you. It creates an energy within inside of you. It makes you sensitive to God. I can't. It's a mystery to me. All I know, the scripture says, build up your most holy faith. The second thing I want you to remember is admonition in the first psalm. The first psalm said some things we should do. First of all, it says this here. It said, meditate in the word of God day in and day out. Read the scripture. How many of you have heard Bible tapes by Alexander Scorby? Read that. Anybody heard that at all? You know? Okay, you backsliders. Okay. Alexander Scorby is a British. He's passed. He's going on now. But he was one that was called many years ago to read the Old and New Testament. And he recorded it. And that beautiful accents that he had. But the beautiful thing is that he helps us to enunciate the words. Some people can never say Mephibosheth. You see? And it's good to hear it. I've gone through about 7 or 10 of his series. I put them in my tape, my car. I played them constantly. He said, hide the word of the Lord in your heart. I think as you meditate in the word day out and day out, wisdom comes through the word. You receive the Holy Ghost's power, not his intelligence. The Holy Spirit makes your mind capable of receiving wisdom. But the wisdom of God is hid within the Word of God. That's why I'm a study constantly of the book of Proverbs. A whole lot of scriptures that are there that really helps me in Proverbs. I read them constantly. Put no trust in an angry man. Okay? He that trusts in the fool is like having a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How many of you know that's painful? It's painful. So, number one, read that. So, meditate in the Word of God. But the second thing, he said, do not stand in the seat of scoffers. You have to be careful of the people that you listen to. We're living in an information age. It's an age that's filled with information, filled with an understanding. You can press every button. But here's my crisis. I don't know the legitimacy of the information. In my profession as a dentist, a healthcare provider, there was a time if you read something from a publication, you could accept the credibility. Not today. Not today. It's seeded with personal interests and promotional ingenuity. And so you need to understand, we're living in an age where we can easily be influenced. And so we have to, number one, be careful. Be discriminating. I'm not saying be skeptical. Oh, yes, I am being skeptical. You need to be mindful of what you're reading, what you hear. Because everything that you read, everything that you hear is not legitimate. And so that's the time. So if some of the things I want to seed you with, you're called to do two significant things. You're called to know God and to make Him known. That's your mission. As simplistic as I can say it. You're called to know Him and to make Him known. And to know Him, you have to understand His identity, His person, and you have to know His power. There's a little book, it's out of print now, by J.B. Phillips. It's called How Big Is Your God? And it says that sometimes our human caricatures of God have come from our learning and our experiences, but they're subnormal. Sometimes we think God is a judge that's always criticizing. Sometimes we think God is a father who's never satisfied with anything that you do. Sometimes we think God is a pacifist, because we were told many times, you know, if they slap you on the right cheek, what should you do? Turn to left. A guy met me in Nigeria said, you're Christian. I said, I am. If I slap you on the right cheek, you should turn to left. I said, that's true. But you better not be around when I turn to left. He's the God of war. And so if we are to know Him, we need to understand something of His ways. The ways of God are peculiar to our natural ways. And so we're having to understand something of the nature of God, how God works. I'm writing a paper on what does the Holy Ghost look like among millennials. I know what He looks like among an older generation, but I don't know what He looks like among you. I want to know what's wrong with those pants that are... What's wrong with the hair? You understand? I want to know about all of that. You understand that? And I'm discovering something very wonderful. Hear me carefully. There's nothing new. And if you think you're bringing about something new, I've seen it before. I'm 74. One of the privileges of age is that you have the privilege to see the beginning and the end of a lot of things. All of us have experienced what I call conflicts. That's because when you come into this world, number one, there are a lot of things you don't know. So I'm writing this paper on what does the Holy Ghost look like among millennials? Not just in terms of our clothing. Clothing is just an outward expression. But how does it look like in terms of their language, their desires, their interests? They keep talking about what you want, what you are. I think the biggest thing we all are looking for is, number one, is an atmosphere of trust. Without trust, there's no true communication. Whenever there's no trust, there's no communication, there's talk. People never open up their heart unless they trust you. And trust is something that's hard to form, but easily broken. And one of the criteria of trust is consistency. Consistency. One of the things that my patients know is that I'll be consistent. I'm consistent. Every time you come, I'll take your money. So, I want to just throw a few points out at you. I want to seed the environment. I'm not interested in giving you a sermon. I'm a very unorthodox preacher. I'm what I call a conversationalist. I've studied a whole lot. I've written about 14 books. I've got others that I'm in writing right now. I've written about 450, 500 papers. And so I'm studying writing all of the time. I'm not short on speaking. But everywhere I come, I ask the Lord to give me some insight as to what He wants to be said now. And that's what I want to share with you, something that, number one, that's time specific. situational and specific to you. That's what I want to do here, if you allow me. They claim that I'm a prophet, but I'm afraid of that because they kill prophets. So I'm a servant of the Most High God. I see what they do to prophets. You understand that? And they claim a lot of things about me. But one thing that I try to do is to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to talk with you. Make some points that I think may hopefully are worth your recording. They were asking me a question some time ago. Who are the most influential people upon this planet today? And some of them mentioned some of your basketball stars. Your team is doing quite well now, isn't it? It won't always be that way, trust me. I'm from Atlanta, trust me, I know. But some mentioned athletes, some mentioned politicians, some mentioned social activists. And I said, no, those are not the most influential people. Make note of this. There are three characteristics of the most influential people, and you need to get this. First of all, people who can get answers to their prayers. And you've got to understand this. The fact that an omnipotent, omniscient God would condescend to hear us, the God who's created the universe, who maintains it by the word of his power, who gives design, who raises up nations and kingdoms to cast them down, who's created from one blood all nations, and determined where they should be. The fact that that God would hear us and respond to us is a tremendous proposition. Just think about if we could pray right, not just praying to consume it upon ourselves. And if I asked me one time, they said, what is the perfect prayer? The one you pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, number one, there's one within you that's making intercession. So people who can get answers to prayer, if we can pray according to the will of God, and if we can pray in faith, because Jesus said, you receive nothing unless you ask in faith. And my faith, number one, has to be based upon the right truth. Faith, number one, can be presumption. So people who can get answers to their prayers, hear me carefully, we have the possibility of influencing a whole culture. I've come out of an environment where they're criticizing our current socio-political process. That's criticizing, criticism, criticism. And so after hearing all the criticism, I said, okay, I got a proposition. For every criticism, let there be two prayers. It's a two prayers, yes. Pray to heaven that God will grant wisdom and counsel to our leaders. One guy said, well, I'll be praying all the time. I said, yes, because you're criticizing all the time. So for every criticism, let there be two prayers. And that's what I'm asking of you. For every criticism you have of anything in this life, let there be two prayers for it. Because let me have it. Criticism compromises creativity. Critical people can never be creative. You want to be non-creative? Keep criticizing. Because when you stop being creative, it's because of your criticism. The second characteristic of people who are very influential are people who can receive and communicate divine information. Make note of that. Who can receive and communicate divine information. I'm a dentist by training. I'm very accomplished. I've studied in some of the notable schools. I do. I get a lot of my wisdom and knowledge from books, from insight, and all of that. But hear me carefully. There's something beyond the books. There's something beyond what you read naturally. We are spiritual people. There's dwelling within us a divine spirit. A spirit who's all-knowing, all-powerful, who wants to reveal things to us through various channels. You prophesied today. I heard you give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. I heard you give insight. I heard you give words of hopes to them. Those are channels. God wants to communicate through us, never apart from his word. Must always remember, maintain a tension between the word and the spirit. All word, no spirit is, hear me carefully, dead intellectuality. All spirit and no word is fanaticism. Our problem has always been we have divorced the word of God from the power of God. Maintain that. But those who can receive divine information, we're not called to be commentators. We're not called just to be influenced by the news media. They're telling you what to think. I'm looking for spiritually creative people. And people who can receive divine information, who can perceive times and seasons and know what ought to be done. Just think about this. If God is leading you and he led you through this church, forming this church. If he gave you information as to what to do, next step. If he told you when to get out of this building, because you won't always be here. If he told you the next place to go, and how long you were to be there, and when you were to get up and to leave. Just think of what you could do. That would eliminate your frustration, wouldn't it? Oh, you would be happy. You understand? Because number one, you'll be led of the Spirit. People who can receive divine information, we have the privilege of doing that. What if God could give you insight in terms of relationship? He doesn't tell you who to marry. And if you ever get a prophetic word about who you ought to marry, come see me. That ain't the one. He doesn't do that. Don't let other people dictate or prophesy you into a relationship. God doesn't do supernatural what he's called you to do naturally. You understand that? He gave you two eyes, two ears, one mouth, and a brain. We're called to think. The tenth gift of the Holy Spirit is common sense. You understand that now? So just think, if God gave you insight how to make decisions about your career, what if you're processing in your career and you want to know you've had some disappointments, you had some setbacks? Because you know how life is. If we have a setback, we have a tendency to shut down. You said you came here in 2013, was it? You tried, okay. And some people, because they tried and a door was shut, they can consistently be led by shut doors. See, that's being situationally, number one, led. There'd be some doors that are shut you're supposed to push open. So if you just led by situation. But what if God gave you insight and wisdom as to the next step? People you ought to involve gave you insight, gave you the ability to look beyond the outward and the near. Because appearances can be deceptive. People speak a lot of things. And they'll smile while they're lying. You can't just go by appearances. But what if the Spirit of God? And the only way that can happen is that you must subject your human emotions to principle. If you're emotionally driven people, you won't receive it. Because sometimes you won't feel like that. I don't think that. I don't feel that way. I'm angry today. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm tired. I'm disappointed. So you're being human. But you need to understand, subject your human emotions. Emotions are like children that need to be disciplined. You don't let them dictate control you. Y'all don't remember some of the great jazz performers here. And if I mention B.B. King, you don't know him. B.B. King. B.B. King, chapter 2, verse 3. Goes like this. When the thrill is gone. Sometimes there's no thrill, there's no anxiety, no nothing. So if you can receive divine information, and I won't teach on that. That's something called spiritual guidance. God can speak through you through visions and dreams. Dreams are nonverbal language. Hear me, Kathy. Dreams are symbolicals. And many of you have dreams. Learn to record your dreams. Don't be totally led by dreams. You understand that? God can speak to you through divine speech, through prophecy. You need to learn something about prophecy. I've written a lot of books on prophecy, prophetic minds. One of the frustrations of a product is internal debate. Always wondering the things if you're saying if they are of God. But we need to understand prophecy. There's something called, number one, a prophetic presence. There's something called the crisis of prophecy. I said I just want to seed the environment with truth and understanding. Don't get away from that. Paul said don't despise prophesying. There's something called the mystery of prophecy. The mystery of prophecy is not what it reveals, but what it conceals. God declares the end from the beginning, but he doesn't give us the middle part. That's called process. Sometimes that's called what I call the crisis of prophecy. That is what we are anticipating is not what we get. Because sometimes God promised you that the next dimension of your life is going to be wonderful. And then all hell breaks loose. So wait a minute, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. You said the next dimension was going to be wonderful. Yes, because God doesn't see things the way we see things. And before you get there, you must walk here. And sometimes we get discouraged with the process. So many times, it may have the crisis is that sometimes what we're anticipating is not what we receive. That's what Israel walked against. They were looking for a kingdom, political, a Messiah like David, who's going to come in and eliminate their enemies. And Jesus confuses them. Because he comes in and he's talking to sinners and harlots and publicans. And he said, no, this ain't what we've been looking for. It even baffled John. John said, go ask him. Is you the one? Or should we look for another? Because you ain't what I was looking for. And say, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. So you need to understand that God wants to communicate his mind, his thoughts to us through different channels. And hear me carefully, he has endowed you all. That's why I say, I'm envious of you. I'm envious. Because see, y'all can multitask. He's talking about that coming over. My generation was taught to focus. When I went to school, the teacher would say, focus. focus. Get your mind on one thing. And so we taught to focus. And at one time, I thought the multitasking was gender specific. Only women can do that. Because men couldn't clap and chew gum at the same time. We couldn't. You understand? But your generation, y'all can look at several things. You can be doing that little stuff on the thing and talking to your friend and thinking about Florida and New Zealand and everything. Where's the brother from going to New Zealand? Where's he? Okay. Don't get frustrated with the process. I appreciate the prayers. Okay? Don't get frustrated with the process and don't lock into a month. Okay? Just notice one thing. You will come back. So don't get bothered with the process and all of that. That's what happened to us. We get a promise, we get bogged with the process. And when it doesn't work out according to our time frame, we get frustration. Number one, you have absolute control over frustration. And the way you eliminate frustration, keep the promise of God in your consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So you're called to receive and communicate, but here's the major one. And this would be the challenge to you. People are most influential who can be totally obedient to God. That's an issue. How can you totally obey God? You can. Because there are several reasons why we obey Him. Number one is incentives. We obey God because of incentive, blessings. Isn't that true? Satan knew that, didn't he? Job doesn't serve you for no reason. He's an upstanding man because you bless him. Look what you do for him. Take away the blessing, he'll curse you. It used to be a song. You don't sing it now. When praises go up, what comes down? Well, one guy said, but what if no blessings are coming down? He said, then ain't no praises going up. Because see, by nature, we are conditionalists. We're happy when everything is going right. We want to obey him when he's blessing us. But we're going to have to redefine blessings. Because blessings are not always good things in our estimation. Blessed are you when people persecute you. I don't like that blessing. Blessed are you when they say all kind of bad things. I don't like that. I like them to say good things about me. Jesus said, be careful when they say good things about you. So people who totally obey the Lord, it's because of incentives. But secondly, and this is critical, we obey if we are convinced about the legitimacy of God. Children, I doubt if we fear the Lord. I doubt if we fear. I'm writing a book now, but it's probably a paper right now, called The Psychology and Psychosis of Leadership. I want to know why God's leaders over the last 20, 30 years have done stupid things, immoral, unethical things, as if we act as if God doesn't exist. How many of y'all discover that he knows all things, sees all things? How many know he can change history? History is not just what happens. History is a concept of what has happened. How many know that the worst things you thought happened in your life, God gives you a different view about them? How many know that God can deliver without power? God can deliver without money? That the favor of God. In fact, I've just been writing something called, number one, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I have people right now who are about to divorce themselves from their calling. You know why? Because it's not bringing the money they think it should. Anytime you make decisions based upon money, you make the wrong decision. You say, but no. That's Wall Street is based upon making money. No, you talk about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. There's some occupation, there's some callings, some careers that if you're in it, you cannot measure it by the financial trappings. But I promise you, there are four things that you'll always have if you stay true to what God has called you to do. Make note of this. First thing, you'll always have divine provision. He'll always provide for you. Hear me carefully. It's not always money, so there'll always be divine favor. Favor will spend where your money won't spend. I've been places where your American dollars aren't worth a dime with the favor of God. Three is divine deliverance. Okay, divine deliverance. God will deliver you. I said divine favor, divine provision, divine deliverance. Is that what I said? And I'm going to remember the fourth one in just a moment. It's called divine guidance. Divine guidance. There'll be some times in life when you won't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. There'll be so many options before you. As quick of mind as you think you may be, and quick of tongue, there come times in life when you're totally baffled. You don't know what to do. You'll seek counsel from people close to you. You'll go to the sages and they can't tell you. You ask mom and dad, they haven't walked there before. And sometimes you get on your knees and pray. There's something called the silence of heaven. There'd be time that heaven is silence. But let me be careful, I can promise you, if you stay true to where God has placed you. And you say, but how do I know that? You know it. Here's the way you know it. What is it that you do that you're most productive? You know what it is. What is it that you do that you're most creative when you do it? I'm creative when I do demonstrate. Creative when I preach. You stay around me long enough, I provoke great faith in your heart. I turn you to God. If you listen to me long enough, I make you madder than a scooter. You understand that? What is it that you do? Number one, you receive the greatest degree of satisfaction. You got to understand that. And what is it that you do that other people acknowledge that you do well? So when you stay in that, and some of you are in the early stages of a career, an option, a choice, God is sorting through things out for you. You're trying to find your way. And it is amazing that sometimes what you do later is what you messed up at before. Most of your career people who've done exceptionally well, nobody talks about that history. They fell on their face. How many times? Went bankrupt, did everything wrong. We think they reach where they are overnight? No. There's a process for all of us. That's why one of my greatest prayers, Lord, teach us to manage our history. Manage your history. History is a teacher. There's some things that you've gone through was necessary. To be honest with you, I've coined a concept. There's something called occupational hazards. There's some things in life that are unavoidable. Those of you that are in ministry, if you think all this wonderful joy and excitement and loving is going to be around for always, let me tell you right now, it ain't. People said, I'm going to be with you always. They won't, because they don't have the power to say, to do that. You understand that? There's some occupational hazards. People are going to leave you. Fellowships are going to be broken. Don't look so sad. Some people will reject you. Ask Paul. It'd be good to go back and read him again. While I'm in this tabernacle, all of this has happened to me. Demas forsaken me. John Mark, somebody made a promise. He broke his promise. And then this brother, Barnabas, who I walked with all of these years, he and I broke up over something silly. You understand that? Not only that, these people that I've helped all of this life, poured my life into, now they've forsaken. Here's a nugget, and remember this. Whatever you do for people, do as unto the Lord, and you'll never be disappointed. But if you do it out of an obligation that they owe you, hear me carefully, they won't ever be able to repay you. I said, teach my deacons, don't ever give what you can't afford. Don't ever loan what you can't afford to give away. They said, no, Brother Kirby, we can't do that right now. Because there's some things that we have loaned, I won't back. I said, from time on, don't loan to people what you can't afford to give away. That's why my grandson will never drive my car. Because my car is old. She has 338,000 miles. 1997 Mercedes. I love the big body, get inside of it. The guy that works on it, he says, this car's getting old. I said, so what's wrong with being old? I said, my grandson, you can't drive her. Because see, she doesn't like fast starts. She likes slow starts. And she likes to, she likes to start slow. She doesn't like loud music. And she doesn't like a lot of people inside talking all of the time. She's used to my presence. You understand it? When I get in the car in the morning, she says, thank God. You understand? So I won't loan it, because I can't afford it. Because I don't want to loan it to him. I get these inevitable words. Grandpa, I don't know what happened. Oh. We got a problem now. You understand that? I said I want to seed the environment of some thoughts and ideas. As you walk through your course here in ministry, there will be some events in your life that are just totally uncontrollable, unpredictable. Put this in the back 40 of your spirit. Forgiveness is power over yesterday. Whatever hurt you or wound you yesterday, forgiveness is power over that. Forgiveness is not memory loss. It's memory without vengeance. I remember what you did. I remember what you said. But I won't be vindictive. I won't steal from God. It belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to God. I won't use it. But whatever there is back there. And some of you have some issues you face. Some of you have some situation. As young as you are. Some of you have experienced some things that we think only would come with time. But you have. Trust the words of this old aging prophet. Forgiveness is power over yesterday. They were asking me one time, how do you fight the devil? I said, simple. First of all, stop talking to him. Stop talking to him because he wants a conversation. Because he demands an audience. What he does? You understand? He's a career talker, conversationalist. You understand that? And here's the way you resist him. Stop talking to him. Stop listening to him. And don't do what he tells you to do. You said, is that simple? Is that simple? Scripture makes it very clear. Submit to God. Resist the devil. If you're spending all your time praying to resist him, you're wasting your time. Prayer is not warfare. Prayer is communion with God. You know, if you spend your time rebuking Satan and talking against him, you're wasting your time. Your words are like idle tales to him. What bothers him is when you don't do what he tells you to do. That annoys him. That upsets him. You mean you're not going to hate like I told you to hate? You're not going to hold vengeance? Who do you think you are? I know I am. And don't talk to him. We think he has more power than he has. Remember I said now, the most influential people are those who can totally obey the Lord, receive divine information. That's who you're called to be. So don't just walk as you're going through. There'll be little setbacks. That's part of life. If life was a straight line, be easy. Trust me, it's zigzag. Zigzag. You understand that? The ups and downs. And everything negative that happens to you isn't because you did something wrong. Every setback is not because you lack faith. Faith does not indemnify you from challenges. Did you know that faith brings trouble? By faith, they walked through the desert, destitute. By faith, they were destitute. They were tormented by faith. Faith doesn't emulate you from life's crisis. But what faith will do is bring you through. So you'll walk through sometimes. You'll change your course. You see? You will get to places where, number one, you don't know quite what to do. And don't just build your energy. Your ministry on energy. Energy, because energy, hear me carefully, will fade. Not just upon enthusiasm. I like the fact that, number one, you're grounding your ministry upon wisdom and the counsel of God. Revelation of truth that comes from the Word. Because there'll be a time when you won't jump. Hear me carefully. Because you cannot correct many times by confession what your behavior has caused. You can't change things many times just by words. Just by confession and declaration. You'll find out sometime you just have to get things right. Go back and set it right. Some of you will continue on with your education. I commend you for that. Education. Education is very important. Get it now while you're young. But hear me carefully. Just because you're number one, you're under 40, doesn't mean, number one, that education should not be on your blip screen. In fact, I'm very much concerned that, you know, that most of you all look sort of young. Concerned about that. You'd have a mixed generation. Where are the older people? We're the blessed ones. And stop calling us senior citizens. We're called super saints. We're called super saints. That's why I say I'm envious of you. But I won't provoke jealousy in you for what's in me. I've seen a lot. And I want to learn from you as you learn from me. I got a conference coming up next week. I have hundreds of people coming from around the world, young and old. One of the parts of the conference will be what I call a panel discussion. I got the millennials. I'm going to let them talk. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what their interests are, their desires, their concerns. What are the things that are mysterious to you? And then we'll have those that are from different nations. I want them to talk. Because, see, God is a global person. And I want to know, because one of the things that we're doing is trying to understand God's job description for all of us. We're all destined to do something that's of God. So as you walk through this phase, I wanted just to drop some nuggets on you, give some insight, some wisdom. People who are most influential, get the answer to prayers. He doesn't hear you just because you're right. He hears you because he's chosen to hear. Get answers to prayer. Not just for your life. Let me tell you, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you know you're asking for trouble, don't you? Yeah. You're asking for crooked places to be made straight, rough places to be made plain. You're asking for light to crash in the darkness. But in the middle of all of that, he said, if you ask according to my will, the stuff concerning you, I'll give. I spend less time making petition for tangible things. God knows you have need of these things. Spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Spirit, you'll find unusual things happen. Some of your complexities will resolve themselves. You understand? Secondly, people that can receive divine information. Learn to be receptive to it, to listen to it, to hear God speaking. And don't just choose who you will listen to. Don't just listen to your generation. My generation wants to listen just theirs. I'll be in another country next month. I'm having to deal with a generational crisis. The older guys get upset because the younger guys, number one, don't come when they're preaching. And then the older guys, number one, don't go when the younger guys are preaching. I said, something's wrong with the story. If someone is speaking and you don't show up, you're saying, I don't respect you. And I said, I show up even when I'm not preaching. The highest statement of pride would be when I go to a church and y'all let me come out after you finish singing. Because that's saying I'm more important than your praise. I'm more important than your worship. Not so. Bring me in right at the beginning. Y'all make some strong coffee back there. I won't say that. Y'all are some coffee drinking people. I tell you, it's strong. And I noticed you didn't have a whole lot of cream. I'm getting a buzz right now from that. I need to get to a Starbucks soon here. Just get some green tea, you know, with steamed soy, you know. That's a subliminal suggestion. Is anybody picking up on that? Green tea, venti, half steamed soy. Should I say that again? Green tea, venti, half steamed soy. More steamed soy than hot water. You can get up and leave now. You know. What am I saying? I see in my spirit some wonderful times for you. Okay. I don't want to say this would be a successful venture. I would say this would be a God venture. I don't measure success the way you may measure. You'll be influential and effective. You will touch nations. I like the fact that you're going to other nations. Understand that? I like that. My prayer is that God will give you the wisdom and counsel that you need so you can manage your history and manage your future. Make note of this. There's something called the law of time. God tells us to do things at a specific time. I was supposed to go to dental school at a specific time. 1970. Not 71, but 70. I was supposed to graduate 74 and then do my postdoctorate from 74 to 76. I was supposed to come back and be a professor of dentistry 77. But at the end of 77 to 78, I was supposed to leave and go to Atlanta. There's a law of time. When God tells you to do something, number one, is now. Not wait till the opportune time. And if you think money is necessary, no. Set your mind to obey him. The law of time, which means that there's a specific thing within God's sphere of existence where you have to do things. There's something called the law of place. You have to be in the right place. He said to the prophet, come down here. I'm going to speak to you here. Well, why can't you speak to me here? Well, let's get this clear. I'm God. You understand? The law of place. I'm talking to some of you. Law of place. There's some places you have to go. You know where you're to go. And see, if you stay in a place beyond the time, trouble comes. Not the devil. See, it's not the devil, just when God stops talking to you. The worst thing that God can do to you is not to kill you, it's stop talking to you. They ask me if God creates fools. No, he just stops talking to smart people. and they do stupid things. The law of place. Then there's something called the law of association. Very critical. There's some people you have to meet. Aquila and Priscilla had to meet Apollos to show the way more perfectly to him. There's some people's path you have to cross. Unfortunately, they may be people that rub you wrong, that irritate you, that annoy you. I can't tell you, some of the most influential people in my life, in the earlier years, I prayed that they would die. Don't laugh, you prayed the same prayer. You just used different words. Pray that they would leave or just escape or fly away. Fly on a plane, don't come back. You know, something like that. And so that's the law of association. There's some people you have to meet. And until you meet them, number one, you can't. So that means there's some places that you have to go that you may not want to go. And you cannot allow the attitude of people or their rejection to influence you. Don't allow people's emotions to influence you. It's unimportant to me whether you applaud me or whether you boo me or reject me. You don't have the power to heal me. You don't have the power to open doors. When did you create anything? When did you establish a time? Or teach the eagle to fly? Or water to turn into ice? You can't answer that? Unimportant to me, your opinion. And if you don't think that way, you'll find yourself being pushed from place to place. Some of you are so driven by the attitudes of people, you need to stop that. Driven by people's emotions. You sense that negative energy. They don't accept you. No, they don't accept you because they don't know you. You're not their problem. They're wrestling with themselves. Your greatest healing will be, and it's one word, God loves you. He accepts you. He has no controversy with you. So, I just wanted to drop a few words. Dr. Wisdom to you, as you understand. I see productivity with you, ministry. And I don't want to give prophetic insight as to the course of this ministry, anything like that. No, that's for you to discover that, for God to speak to you. Because if I always gave that to you, then you'd be looking to me. And I will not create that kind of dependency. No. You'll be dependent upon Him. I will be available to give insight and input. I want to learn from you. I want to learn from you. I really do. I want to learn how you think. I want to learn why you do crazy things. I really want to know. And you want to learn why I do crazy things. See? I'm probably more radical than you think. I am. But I want to learn because there's a generational void, gap, that's not of God. The generational gap theory was not God. It was a social, political, number one, ideology, precipitated by a lack of understanding. He's created from one blood, all nations. And we are to relate one to the other. You're trying to become more and more multicultural, multi-ethic, multi-generational. And the thing that will influence you most is your music. Music. Not just contemporary singing. Let me quote Paul. Singing unto yourself psalms, quote it with me, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Do this for me. Sing in the spirit for a moment. Can you do that? La sorrimando ricordum. Can you sing in the spirit? Don't look at me like you're in a trance. Can you sing in the spirit? Lift your voice for a moment. La sorrimando ricordum de la con. Sorrimando ricordum de la con. How about this? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Sing that occasionally, okay? As well as rap. And I like the rap. Rappers are 21st century prophets. Jeremiah was a rapper. There he was. Play me a beat and I'll rap the word of the Lord. Yeah. All kind of music. The way you influence your spiritual omniscience is through your music, your worship. If they come in, they hear the thoughts and intentions of their heart, they would say, God is in this place. It's not an intentional thing. You don't intentionally try to bring people here. You just do it God's way. God's way is like a magnet. You better write that down. His way is like a magnet. You sing the music. You do it the way he wants it done. You let out of your heart. Because see, one thing that I'm envious of you, you have a willingness that I have not seen before. You have a tenacity that I have not seen. There's a commitment within you that's dangerous. When I hear some of you said, we're going to go to Indonesia. We don't have no money. How long are you going to be going? Oh, we'll be going a month. What about your job? Well, so I stop at, so you have a commitment. That's why I say, I'm envious of you. Be it unto you, not unto me. So I commend you. Just want to drop these words upon you. Thoughts, ideas. I hope that they have some. I'm sure they will. Go back and listen to them. They answer questions. Okay. Self-pity will kill you. Listen to me again. Self-pity will kill you. If you're wrestling over what was done to you, who did to you, what went wrong, you need to let that go. Because self-pity will cause you to do the next inevitable thing. It won't be suicide, but you can kill yourself while you're still living. Because you can shut off everything, all creativity. I commend you. You have a lot of entrepreneurs in here. Entrepreneurs, I sense them, entrepreneurs. I want to provoke you to pursue your talent, skills, okay? And your entrepreneurship will be successful as you join with other people here, okay? There are other people that you have to relate to. I hope that all your friends are not Christians. If they are, you're not doing the work of God. Most of mine are heathens. They're heathens. Because he said, go ye and make disciples what? I call of heathens. In order to make disciples of heathens, you have to learn to listen to heathens and to talk to heathens and not be religious. And don't be too quick to say, thus saith the Lord. Just talk out of your own recreated spirit. God will join people to you. You'll be a mixed congregation. All kind of people. Strange people. That's what the church is. But you're a therapeutic healing community. You heal people. Restore them. Help them find their way. You should be known as a family church. Bringing families together. I can hear the pitter-patter of many little feet. People get nervous when I say that. That speaks of children. How many of you heard me? Hear me? Did you hear me? Okay, hear me? Good. Thank you. My prayer for you is that his will be done, that he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's sufficient. Because all the others you have, zeal, the enthusiasm, the commitment, the passion, the willingness, and the youthfulness. Be careful. So I'm envious of you, but I won't make you jealous of me. Because there's some things that I have that I know I want you to want. I want you what you have. I don't want to become young again. It had its problems with me back then. I paid my dues. And now. So blessed be the Lord to give you wisdom and counsel. May he order your footsteps. May he guide you. May he do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think according to his will. May he bring you into the next dimension of life and ministry. May your disappointments turn into appointments. And may the things you think were lost, he show you what really were gained. And may you pursue every aspect of God's will. May not one of his words fall to the ground, that he's fulfilled them all. When you come to a crossroads when you don't know what to do, I pray that either he awaken within your consciousness what he said, what he's done, or he'll send a messenger, because he's good at doing that. I tell you, he ain't sent a messenger. Sometimes it could be a dove. Sometimes it could be a dog. Sometimes it could be a Delta Airline employee. Oh, help me, Lord. What did you just say to me? He just said to me, I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but I just want you to know that you're on the right road. Yeah, I'm in a plane. I know I'm on the right road. He'll speak to you. And when you come to a place when you don't have this, Just remember this. It's not this. The favor of God. The favor. Favor will spend what money won't. Will. Some of you will be investors. You'll have property. You really will. Entrepreneurs. That's a lot of entrepreneurship here. You really are. But always remember, everything you receive from God. Amen? Good. I need my Starbucks and I'm hungry. I'm finished.